This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we find a Stanley Cup champion named Jay Caulfield brought to us by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, how are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing? Bob?
Nice to talk to you, Jay.
Yes, it always is, even under these circumstances. Man, this is rough, but I would say it was pretty rough right before Mario got here and right before Sid got here too, Jay. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to go to the bottom to rise again, and I don't know that they meant to get here this early, but the Penguins are here, right? I mean, I don't see them really escaping from this.
Yeah, no, that was look, you went through the weekend, you came out of the break, you're 5 points away from the spot, and whatever what's best for them or whatnot. You know, all these guys are playing to get it. You're playing to be in the playoffs. Sidney Crosby doesn't play the game not to play high-stakes games. You know, he doesn't want to sit here with 20-some games to go and not have something to play for. I mean, I think when they came out of it, they didn't get the goaltending they needed. That's number one. That's bottom line. The Rangers weren't a good team, and they score. The way the goals went in the back, you know, the way they were pulling the puck out of the net. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I mean, we gave a number last night that in the three games that they've played, they haven't had numbers like that since the early 2000s. So it's something that's goaltending has been an issue all year long. It became a major problem. It's still a problem right now. I know Mike Sullivan said it's not on the goaltending part, and there were breakdowns all over the ice, but still you need somebody to make a save to pick up when something else goes wrong. It just hasn't happened, especially coming out of the break. And, I think that it was a listless effort, too. I mean, in Philadelphia, like, it's taking away anything that used to be a tough place to play or an entertaining place to play for both teams. And that was not the case at all last night. I mean, there was just all, you know, it was tight, then it just blew open. And the Penguins were beating areas that Mike Sullivan and his coaching staff, everybody across the board, won't be happy with. And that's what it looked like to me. It's like the Flyers ripped the heart out of the Penguins halfway through the second period or late in the second period.
Even though this, to me, is not tanking, they've earned what they've gotten, which is where they are in the lottery, which is fifth right now overall draft. But I don't think I agree with what you're saying. These guys who are out there trying to do what they got to do, but they seem unorganized, disorganized.
Yeah.
And while the goaltending has to be better, I don't think there's any question, and that is a big thing to try to address if you're Cal Dubas. I also think your goaltending, and Jay, you tell me if I'm wrong about this. When your goaltending is under siege and seeing a lot of odd man breaks and psychologically and confidently, that can affect any goaltender, I think.
Oh, no. Bob, I totally agree with that. In fact, I thought it was – I don't think – I mean, it's been worse. There were times throughout the season early in the year where they were under siege, and that's what it was like, right? That's, you know, a breakdown, and all of a sudden they get an opportunity, and it's a great A chance. I think in these three games out last night, look, the Washington game, when there's a breakdown, that's the problem. When there's been a breakdown, and it's each team has it. There's breakdowns on both sides where the Penguins get a great look. Just the difference over the three games that we're looking at right now is that they made a save and the Penguins couldn't get a save. And that doesn't excuse the idea of the break. I mean, the ones that we saw last night through the neutral zone, the three opportunities, bad decisions. And I believe some bad decisions are coming from the idea that you're trying to push, you know, if you're the Crosby line, you're trying to make something happen. So the play by Raquel trying to find Crosby down the wing, maybe instead of just getting it deep, they've been outstanding all year long. Maybe they're trying, maybe that play, that specific play, trying to just, you know, do something to, you know, to turn their fortunes around, and it ends up going the other way. So, Bob, I agree with that, that when there's grade A chances and number of them, so many of them, that's very difficult. But in this three games that we just saw, the goals they gave up on the low amount of shots against Washington, the goals against the Rangers, and then you see last night, now the one-timer by Forster, there's nothing they can do on that. And, man, I'd have to look through the tape again, but the first one, I'm sure, and he even talked about it. The first one, that's a difficult one to give up. And you can see the reaction of the players, too, when all of a sudden they give something up and the guys are, you know, you can see the shoulders drop, the head drop, everything. It's a bad space that they're in. You made the comment about looking disorganized. They certainly look that way on the sixth goal. And I just think there's little things that they harp on all the time, and they're repeated mistakes that put your team in a position like this. And it's a tough place to be. Like right now, this is not where you want to be. Most guys have been in this position where they're now again fighting, you know, to try and just scrape to get into a playoff. And when you're not in the hunt, this is long. 20-some games to go, you're 9 points out. Everybody just about won last night that you're going against. You're holding more games than the other guys. To me, yeah, that one last night, that's when my comment last night was, well, there's a lot of guys right now, and luckily for me in the NHL, 1 year that we weren't in the playoffs, your mindset is I'm fighting for a job. Now I'm fighting to show that I'm able to hold on or you want me back. That's what this is about right now for a number of players. That's what you're looking at. You're trying to say, do you want me back or not? And it's going to be by my play. And I think this is what this has turned into. And last night, there'll be a number of guys that they'll look at and go, I might not want that back. That's what I think it comes down to.
Well, I guess that leads into my next question, Jay. And that is, you know, that was Philly where they were getting embarrassed. Right. And in the third period, the score is out of control. I don't know, maybe hockey's just not that way anymore. But isn't that kind of a situation in the third period where you start some trouble and show some life and show you want a job in the future?
Yeah, that's what I said. I agree, Joe. Again, we know the lineup is not that way. Sidney Crosby's going to be battling. Sidney Crosby battled against that Cooley in New York. It's a big forward, a big power forward for the Rangers, and he's doing that. I think I felt last night that they ripped the heart out of the Penguins last night. They didn't have the fight was gone in them last night in that game. In that game, it wasn't there. And I don't think Mike Sullivan is used to doesn't want to see kind of packing it in. But by what you're talking about, Joe, then they are, in a sense, with no pushback, no fight at all. And it doesn't, again, I know they're not built that way. There's not going to be somebody going to start. Who's in the lineup? I mean, Nick Steele, there's a number of tough guys that will play hard, but there wasn't even anything close to the battle. Of the usual suspects, it's Crosby, Letang, Malkin. They're always going to be battling, and that never gets away from them, but it just doesn't follow up with the rest of the lineup.
So they are in a situation now, Jay, where they're going to try to acquire assets. They've already started this process, which is why when people think they haven't done it, they have done it. They've brought in, you know, picks. Kyle Dubas, you know, has a long-term contract. I would imagine now everything is tied to how he manufactures the draft coming up in the next 2 years and free agency as well. What can they do to save money so they have more money to spend? You know, Carlson makes a lot. Is there a realistic chance that he could be traded? We talked a lot about Raquel. That's obvious. if you want to, you know, probably the most sought after one of them wingers in the game right now. But what about a guy like Carlson? What can they do with him?
Jeez, Bob. I mean, that's a contract that, I mean, first of all, you got to get a guy to waive a no trade clause, number one, right? So we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
The no trade clause is in there for a lot of guys. And with a number like that, Bob, I'm not sure what you'd have to eat to give to move on from that. I don't know what takers are out there for it. I mean, that is such a – it's kind of loaded in a lot of different ways, Bob, because I really think, like, it's a contract that I don't think when it came down to even when Carlson was brought in here. I mean, what teams were really in play? It was Seattle, and then they mentioned Carolina, but I don't think Carolina really was ever in the game for – Eric Carlson, because Brent Burns was there, and it didn't really work in San Jose. So I'm not sure what's going to be out there for the, you know, for what he's going to accomplish for a team making a run. If they want an offensive side of it, or what teams are looking for, who's desperate for something to, you know, as you're getting to the, right now, there's going to be buyers and sellers, as we know, as we're getting to the deadline. Bob, I really don't know the answer on that one, because I don't know who wants to take over that kind of number. And same with Ryan Graves. I mean, what do you do? The numbers, there's guys that are out there that have had success throughout their career. Right now, it's not working here. So what are you going to be able to do, and what can you move? This is a tough, a real tough position to be in. As you went from GM to GM to GM, from Jim Rutherford to Hextall to now Dubas, and each one compounded problems, right? It's, and Dubas is saddled with all the things of trying to right this ship. I don't think he felt like the free agents, everybody that was brought in, the signing of Jari and Carlson, how, you know, the Jari signing, if he performed to what they had hoped he would, then it looks like a great signing, and you're not mm-hmm. struggling with the contract there. Then the Carlson thing and Graves and these things haven't panned out, and it's made it very difficult. So, Bob, I don't really know the answer to that. That's tough work for Kyle Dubas, and I'm sure he's been trying to, you know, pound the phone to find out what they can do. But this is not, even when you're not making it, even wherever you're at, what's the draft look like? How deep is the draft going to be to make the picks that you have valuable? I don't know. This is a tough spot to be. Then I always look at the Crosby situation. Again, I believe a player like that does not want to be riding this out. I'm saying he's so loyal, and he's done that for the Penguins and took a discount, all that goes with that. But these players aren't built or aren't wired to be just playing out the season. They're not. They play too many high stakes.
Especially 3 years in a row now. You know, I mean, this has become the norm.
Yeah. Well, at least they were in it the last couple of years. This one.
Yeah, but they still miss the playoffs when you have all these teams involved.
Well, Jay, let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, to your point, I know what you mean, Joe. Like, at least they were grinding down the stretch to see if they could get in. Right now, you look at it right now, with 22 games to go, and you know the Penguins are the one team that has not had a good 10-game stretch. I mean, a 10-game stretch to separate themselves, and with 22 games to go, that's more your point, I believe, Joe. What I think you were trying to say was that, you know, at least they were battling the years before right to the end. This is on the last three games to be in this position has really put them into such a spot that you have just so many teams to climb. They have games in hand on you, and they're 9+ points above you. That's tough.
This is a disaster, Jay, and it leads to a question. Mario was in town. I'm sure you saw him. What can you share with us about his opinion of what the hockey team's doing right now?
No, I think across the board, Joe, with all the players that were in town for Mario's camp and everybody watching the Penguins and everybody pulling for stuff, I think the games that we saw is almost like a little snapshot of what's kind of going on throughout the year, and realizing it's tough. They all know. Most of the players that were here, you know, for Mario's camp, were guys that always were in playoffs, always got into it. Very rarely would they miss out on what everybody's trying to play for. So the feeling of it, you can even feel the wind come out of the sails, even in the Mario's suite over the weekend when it's, you know, one after another went in against the Penguins. It's very difficult, but I think they all know this is they're in a tough spot right now. And Mario's so diplomatic about it. And, you know, it's, we all know what he means to just being in the building. I think this is the one thing. It's almost like it's the perfect storm with him with Mario not being in the building as much as what he was before, the way the team and where it's sliding to and what it's doing, I think everybody has the same feels like what we're talking about right now. And partially probably most of what I'm talking about is what we discussed over the weekend. Everybody feels the same way, man. This is a tough position to be in and tough predicament to be in. And again, all these players that have been here have been extremely successful and not fighting for something again, which are with the ultimate goal, makes it very difficult.
One more thing for you, Jan. This is about Ovechkin. I'm sure you admire what he's been able to do. And last night he became a 30-goal scorer for the 19th time in his 20-year career, which is magnificent. It could very well be that the last game of the year he's going to get that one that break Gretzky's record. He's on a pace to do it. So we've had this discussion. I have nothing but respect for the guy. And I realize that Pittsburgh and Washington was an intense rivalry. And because of that, there's some hatred that fans feel. But I would imagine on that day, if it happens in Pittsburgh, people would give him a standing ovation. And I quite frankly would be disappointed if they didn't.
No, I think everybody, I agree with you, Bob. I think it's what he's doing is, and it's helping the game to the, you know, putting a spotlight on the NHL for somebody to accomplish, you know, the great players that have played the game in all sports, but somebody going after achieving a goal like this, especially the way Ovechkin played the game and still plays the game, how he's evolved in the, you know, talking to the best goal scorers that have ever played the game, say how he's evolved into scoring the goal so many different ways, just a pure goal scorer. We know the one-timer from the half wall. We know the power play on the flank, all that. But he scores in other different ways too. And I do think, I think there would only be an amazing ovation for if that did happen here. And we do know the grind, but I think the respect between Crosby and Ovechkin just alone, and Malkin and Ovechkin, I think that alone would bring that to be something that would have to be applauded. And I think it's an amazing, amazing feat that is driving the Washington Capitals as well. I think they're caught up in the whole rush. They're playing great hockey. They're caught up in what this is all about, and they're flourishing with the excitement around it.
Thanks, Jay.
Lastly, Jay, I'd be remiss not to ask you. I think it was shortly after we talked last week that news of Mike Lang's passing became known, and then an incredible ceremony this past weekend. Your thoughts on your time being around Mike?
Joe, Bob, Mike was certainly, as everybody has said, I mean, the way he carried a game and called a game and had brought everybody into it, especially the way the Penguins, the Pittsburgh sports fans in general, from baseball, you know, obviously the Steelers in a different venue and the hockey and the Penguins. But to me, he brought everybody into it, let him feel the game, be a part of the game. For me, he was engaging and warm when I first came to the Penguins, and my wife and I, Alicia and I, he was wonderful with us and made you feel just great about everything. And I remember one of my first interviews I have with him, it was in Philly, talking about being in Philly and what it meant to be back there, and even just threw out a phrase to me then was the one, buy Sam a dog and get his drink, his dog one, buy Sam a drink and get his dog one too. That phrase, he threw it out there in the interview with me, and I will always remember that one. And I love the one about Elvis has just left the building. And I think what he did for sports here and what he did for the Penguins and the hockey world for all of us made it very, very special. And and even as I was doing this work now, guys, and what I'm doing, his comments to me or let me know whether it be, you know, good work, whatever, that kind of thing. He was very, very always engaging, very nice, even from the last to the last time I saw him. And it's a sad day with that happening, and we'll all miss him. And he's certainly what he meant to everybody in this profession.
Well said.
Very. We appreciate the time, Jay, and we'll talk next Wednesday. I think we'll be leading right up to trade deadline day.
Yeah, it's Friday next
Friday,
weekend.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, sir.
Guys, you guys, always great to talk to you. Take care.
You also. Bye-bye.
See you, Jay.